وحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Mostly an apology for starting so late. A few things popped up. With regard to the topic in hand, just as a summary, so far we've dealt with the issue of Iman, the concept of Iman. Before that we dealt with why we're studying this topic of Asma wa Sifat, Allah's name naturally. So we went through the concept of Al-Iman. We said Iman is qawlun wa amalun, that is statement and action. قول القلب واللسان وعمل القلب واللسان والجوارح. It's a statement of the heart and the tongue, and the action of the heart, tongue and limbs. And then we said يزيد بالطاعة لله وينقص بالمعصية, that it increases with the obedience of Allah تبارك وتعالى and it decreases with disobedience of Him. And we brought some ayat from the Quran, some ahadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we topped it up with a few statements of some of the early salaf of this ummah, some of the early Muslims, the predecessors of Islam, whose understanding we said we need to take in all matters. And then we went on to the issue of Allah's names. We went through some major principles with regard to Allah tabaraka ta'ala's names. And then we went on to describing the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, firstly by saying who is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and then we described the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah with regards to Allah's attributes, and we said that they affirm that which Allah affirms without making tahrif, ta'til, tafyif, and tamthil. Tahrif being distortion, ta'atul being denial, takif being asking how or saying how, and tamthil being likening Allah to His to the creation. And then we said whatever Allah Ta'ala denies or negates for Himself, and we negate that as well as affirming the complete and utter perfect opposite. And then we went through basically we ended it on the definitions of tahrif, ta'til, takyif, and tamthil, and went through in a bit more detail on that. We also then followed that up with the issue of muhkam and majaz, and muhkam and mutashabih, the clear and unclear verses, and then followed that up with the haqiqi and the majazi verses, the literal and the metaphorical verses. Now inshaAllah tabaraka wa ta'ala we'll give an example that shall hopefully inshaAllah make the whole matter clear or clearer. We'll talk about the Qur'an and the Kalam of Allah. Well, Allah ta'ala says in over 12 verses or over 24 verses, over 2,000 verses in the Qur'an, He talks about having the characteristic of the Kalam, of kalam or speech. Among these verses, Allah Ta'ala says, the Surah An-Nisa, verse 164, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. He said, and Allah spoke to Musa directly. This particular lecture is not actually, we won't have any slides to it, so you'll have to make your own notes, inshallah, as it's just an extensive example. Likewise, Allah says, and the Kalam of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and justice. Surah 6, verse 116. He says also, and the Kalam, if the oceans were ink wherewith to write the Kalam of my Lord, the oceans would be exhausted before the Kalam of my Lord would finish, even if we brought another ocean like it for its aid. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala says, and the Kalam, or the Kalima of Allah, the word of Allah, is the uppermost in Surah Tawbah. He also says, that would be said to the people in the heavens, peace be upon you, salamu alaykum. He said, a word from a Lord who is most merciful. So here, in these verses and in other verses, we can see that Allah Ta'ala has the attribute of speech, of kalam, of speaking. This kalam is heard by His creation, and it consists of words and letters. Ta'qeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. For example, if we look at the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he came to the fire and he was called, by Musa, verily I am the Lord and I have chosen you. Therefore listen to what is inspired to you. In Surah Ta'a, verse 12. So Allah is saying clearly that he spoke to Musa and he called Musa, and what? And Musa heard him. Likewise, Allah says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Have you heard the story of Musa? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. When his Lord called him in the sacred valley of Tuwa, in Surah Naziyat. Likewise, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the meeting between Musa and Adam alayhi wa sallam, in which Adam asked Musa, he said, O Musa, are you the one to whom Allah spoke from behind a veil, and there was no interpreter between you, nor was there any messenger? Meaning, are you the one that Allah spoke to directly? Musa answered, yes. It is clear that Allah's kalam to Musa was without any intermediary, without any translator, but rather Allah's kalam was with sound. As he said, when Allah decreed a matter, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah decreed a matter in the skies, the angel moved their wings in humility for his speech, which sounds like a chain over a rock. So this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a description of the sound of the kalam of Allah, which clearly proves that Allah's kalam or speech is with sound. This is also the belief of the Salaf, as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who died 241 Hijrah, he was asked by son Abdullah, who died 290 after Hijrah, he said, when Allah Ta'ala spoke to Musa, did he speak with a sound that was heard by Musa? And Imam Ahmad answered, yes indeed, your Lord speaks with sound. And all of these hadith of the kalam of Allah, we narrate them as we heard them. In Adab al-Mufrad, Imam Bukhari, who died 256 after Hijrah, he mentions, regarding the Day of Judgment, and their Lord, the Prophet said, and their Lord will call them with a voice. The one who is close can hear it, just as the one who is far can. And he will say, I am the King. So after narrating the entire hadith, which in itself is explicit to the fact that Allah speaks with a kalam that can be heard, Imam Bukhari says, all praise be and glory be to Allah speaks with a sound. Those who are close can hear it just as those who are far. And this is only so for Allah. Yani only Allah's speech can be heard close and far as well. And in this is a proof that the sound of Allah does not resemble the sound of mankind. So it is proof that Allah's kalam, his speech, has a voice or has sound. But we have to understand that Allah's kalam is not the same as our kalam, because Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like him, and he is the all-hearer, the all-seer. Actually, it's quite vital in listening to this particular lecture and those that follow it, to try to follow, to listen to the tapes, if you can, of the lectures beforehand that we gave yesterday, in order to fully grasp the understanding, because otherwise some of the statements could be misinterpreted, some of my statements. So the kalam of Allah also, as we said, consists of words and letters. Yani, we know that, for example, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, it's the kalam of Allah. It consists of four words. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ, four words. Each of these words consists of letters. قُلْ consists of letters. قَاف and لَمْ. هُوَ consists of two letters, هَا and وَاو, and so on. So the speech of Allah consists of words and letters. And this is further emphasized by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, whoever recites one word from the Book of Allah will receive 10 rewards. And I do not say that alif lam mim is one, is a word, is one word. But rather alif is a word, and lam is a word, and mim is a word. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided the Qur'an into words and letters. In the same way, the kalam of Allah, this is just a brief overview, the kalam of Allah is not limited to the Arabic language. The kalam can be, Allah revealed the Torah and the Injil in Hebrew. And this is also a part of this kalam. In fact, Imam al-Darimi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who died 288 after Hijrah, he said, regarding those who deny this concept, he said, woe be to you. Verily Allah is knowledgeable of all languages, and he speaks in whichever language he wishes. If he wishes, he speaks in Arabic, and if he wishes, he speaks in Hebrew, and if he wishes, he speaks in Syriac. So he has made the Qur'an his kalam in Arabic, and the Torah and Injil his kalam in Hebrew, since he has sent the prophets with the language of their people. This is what Imam al-Darimi said. Another characteristic of the kalam of Allah is the fact that it is not created, it's uncreated. There are characteristics to this. For example, Allah says in the Qur'an, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Indeed, to him belongs the creation and the command. الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. So he clearly separated the difference between الْخَلْقُ, which is the creation, and the command. And the command is, of course, Allah's kalam, is his speech. His command is his speech. So therefore, his kalam is uncreated, it's not created. It's something separate from his creation, rather it's his attribute. In fact, the speech of Allah is the cause of the creation. Because Allah says, verily, our Lord, our word, sorry, unto a thing. What we intend it is only that we say, kun fayakun. Is that we say, kun, we say be, and then it is. So based upon this ayah, it shows that a created thing cannot create a created thing. Okay? The created thing can't produce from nothing something created. But rather, an attribute of Allah which is the kalam of Allah. Allah just says kun, and it is. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who died 198 after Hijrah, he said, he has lied who said that the Quran is created. Allah has stated, Allah is khalqu wal amr. Indeed, to him belongs the creation and the command. So the creation is the creation of Allah, and his command is the Quran. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, again, died 241 Hijrah. He also uses this verse to prove that the kalam of Allah is not created. In the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dismounts at any place, and he says, A'udhu bika, I seek refuge in the kalimatullah. Okay, in the kalimatullah, in the words of Allah, in the speech of Allah. I seek refuge in the kalimat of Allah from the evil that is created. Whoever says this, nothing will harm him until he moves from his spot. And we know that no one can seek refuge in a created thing. You have to only seek refuge in Allah or His attributes, and therefore it shows that the kalam of Allah is one of Allah's perfect attributes. Okay, so now we know that Allah speaks and He has a kalam. Likewise, the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. Likewise, the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. And the proof of this, or one of the proofs, is in the Qur'an in which Allah says, and if any of the idolaters seek your protection, then grant him protection, so that he may hear the kalam of Allah. So that he may hear the kalam of Allah, which shows that in talking about the Qur'an. So when the wish of the king, if they ask for protection, give them protection and recite to them the Qur'an, which is the kalam of Allah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the Quraysh have prevented me from spreading the kalam of my Lord. Meaning they prevented him from spreading the Qur'an. He also said, in reference to the Qur'an, that with superiority of the kalam of Allah and the kalam of all other creation, or all other kalam is superiority of Allah over His creation. In fact, this belief is the belief of Ahl Sunnah and Jama'ah. They have ijma' on this, and the statements of the Salaf have reached the level of mutawatir. You know, so many in number that it is, you know, that it's impossible that any of them could lie. So as we proved, the kalam of Allah is not created. Therefore, is the Qur'an created? No, why? Why can't the Qur'an be created? Because the Qur'an itself is kalam of Allah. Yeah? The Qur'an is part of the kalam of Allah. So therefore, if the kalam of Allah is not created, in the same way, the Qur'an itself is not created. In fact, Ibn Abbas, he narrated the verse in Surah Az-Zumar, I think, verse 27, Surah 39, in which Allah says, a Qur'an without any crookedness. He said, Ibn Abbas, he said, this means that the Qur'an is not created. He gave that interpretation, the Qur'an and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amr ibn Dinar, who died 126 after Hijrah, he said, I have met the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who came after them, for 70 years all of them have said, Allah is the creator. And everything besides Him is created, and the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. From Him it came, and to Him it will return. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, who died 150 after Hijrah, he wrote in his Fiqh al-Akbar, the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, written in the mushafs, and is preserved in the hearts. recited by their tongues and revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shows his understanding that Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. And it's not created. In another place he said the Qur'an is not created. Imam Malik, who died 179 Hijrah, he was asked about the one who says the Qur'an is created. What should be done to him? Imam Malik said he should be forced to repent. And if he refuses to repent, then his head should be cut off. So what do you say regarding those who say the Qur'an is created today? Imam Shafi'i, who died 204 after Hijrah, he stated, whoever says that the Qur'an is created is a kafir, is a disbeliever. Imam Shafi'i said that. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, died 241 after Hijrah, he said, it has been narrated from many of our Salaf that they used to say the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah and it is not created. This is also what I believe, and I am not a person of philosophy, nor do I think that philosophy plays a part in any of our beliefs. Oh, you who believe that philosophy plays a part in our beliefs, listen to our Imams. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who said that philosophy does not play a part in any of our aqidah, our beliefs. The only source is the Qur'an, the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, or a statement of the companions or successors. As for anything besides these sources, then all of it is not praiseworthy. Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Tahari, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his famous aqidah al-Tahawiyah, what did he say? A great Hanafi scholar. He said the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. It originated from him, and to him it will, so as an articulated speech in a manner that is not questioned, and is revealed to his prophet by wahi, or inspiration. The believer testifies to his revelation. They are certain that it is the actual kalam of Allah, not created, unlike the speech of humans. Whoever hears it and thinks that it is the kalam of Allah is a the speech of a man, then he is a disbeliever whom Allah has condemned and threatened with the fire of hell. For Allah says, I will burn him in the hell fire. To whom he said, this is nothing but the word of a mortal. This is the verses in the Quran. So that's in Surah number 74, verse 25 and 26. So by these verses, Imam al-Tahawi continues, we know and are certain that this Qur'an is the kalam of the creator of humans and it does not resemble the kalam of mankind. Imam al-Malikai, who died 418 after Hijrah, he transmitted reports from over 550 scholars of the Salaf, all of whom stated the same fact, the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. Al-Qur'an kalam Allah, غير مخلوق. Right? The Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, it is not created. And whoever states that it is created, he is a disbeliever. So after naming all of these scholars, Imam al-Malikai, he wrote the following passage. So these are 550 scholars or more from the Tabi'in and the generation after them. From the Tabi'in and the generation after them. And the scholars whom this Ummah has accepted and are well pleased with, not including the companions. So these 550 statements are not even including the statements from the companions, from all different places and generations. And of these are over 100 who were imams, those whom the people used to follow their opinions and madhabs. And were I to busy myself with compiling the names of the modern scholars on top of these names, then the numbers of names would reach the thousands. Instead, I restricted myself to transmissions from these named scholars, from generation to generation. No one refuted or contradicted them, And whoever did so, they were forced to repent, or they were commanded to be killed or banished. Imam al-Alika, he died 418 in his Shara' Usul I'tiqad Ahl Sunnah, which is the well-known encyclopedia of Aqidah. So he's relaying a consensus. 550 of the Salaf, should be no doubt in our hearts now, to this fact. In fact, the first person to claim that the Qur'an was created, or something created by Allah, was someone called Ja'ab ibn Dirham, who died 124 after him. He was one of the leaders of innovation of his time, and many of the ulama of that time, they refuted him. In fact, he was killed by the governor of his time because he held these innovative beliefs, his heretical beliefs. But his student, Jahan ibn Safwan, it's a little brief history, who died 128 after Hijrah, he was able to spread many of these false ideas to a great extent, such that a group emerged called the Jahmiyya. So this group, the ulama of al-Islam at that time, they considered them to be disbelievers outside the fold of Islam for their heretical beliefs. The Jahmiyya claimed, amongst other things, that the Quran is the Kalam of Allah, and therefore the Quran is something created. About less than 100 years later, Ahmed ibn Abu Da'ad, he was one of the corners to the belief of the Jahmiyyah. He managed, he died 240 Hijra, he managed to persuade the Khalif, Ma'mun, the Abbasid Khalif, who in the year 218 Hijra, he managed to persuade him of these Jahmi beliefs. And so Ma'mun, he used his power as the Khalifa to start to persecute a lot of the scholars of that time and force them to renounce the belief of the Salaf. And he forced them to say that the Quran was the Kalam of Allah, and he tortured them severely. In fact, some of the really prominent scholars of his time, they had to renounce the belief the Quran was the Kalam of Allah, or rather that the Kalam of Allah was created, they said. In fact, only a few of those scholars, such as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he managed to last through this torture without actually relenting these statements. Imam Ahmad was jailed for a number of years, and he was beaten and whipped so severely that doctors said that he was on the verge of death. This was one of the greatest trials to ever inflict the Muslim Ummah, and it was only during the Khalifa Mutawakkil, during the year 247, when Orthodoxy was returned. So three groups besides Ahl Sunnah emerged, and they evolved with regards to the beliefs of the external or eternal nature of the Qur'an. As we said, the first group comprised of the Jahmiyyah and also the Mu'tazila, who said the Qur'an was created. And at that time that was the fashion, and this group they were temporarily quite popular. And many scholars were verbally forced to agree with that because of the Khalif Ma'mun. The second group were known as the Waqifiyya. And what this group did, the Waqifiyya, they said, we do not say that it is created and we do not say it is not created. But they didn't say this out of ignorance. They said this after studying the text and the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and they said this is our conclusion. The Qur'an is, we don't say it's created and we don't know if it's uncreated. So they made tafweed of this to Allah. They made tafweed, they claimed that they relegated this to Allah. So they said we don't know what from the evidence is. However, one of the Salaf was asked about this group, and he said, the Quran is the Kalam of Allah and it is not created. And can it be other than this? Or can anyone say other than this? We can never have any doubts in this, about this ever. Imam Ahmad, he said, as for the Wasitiyah, then there is no doubt in their disbelief. So you can't be on the fence. We don't know this, we don't know this. No, you have to affirm the correct aqeedah. It's almost like saying, we don't know if Isa alayhi salam is the son of God. He could be or he can't be, or he may not be. So we don't know, we leave the knowledge of that to Allah. Personally, says this, he's a kafir. He's a kafir. So, then there is a third group called the lafziyya. The lafziyya. In fact, I'll write this on the board. So we have the Jahmiyya, we have the Waqifiyya, and the Lafziyya. So the Jahmiyya believed what, Imran? No, but with regards to the Quran, yes, it's created. And the Wasitiyya said, this is we don't know. Affirmed. Created or uncreated. After the last video, what they said, they claim the Quran was the Kalam of Allah, and it was not created. But the recitation of the reciter of the Quran is created. So, it's uncreated, but recitation of reciter is created. Now this statement could imply two things. It can imply either that my recitation of the Quran, this statement, my recitation of the Quran is created. It could imply two things. Either that the words that is the sound expelled by the reciter, that this is created, or it could mean that the words are created. So, of course, one of these things is correct and one of them is not correct. The fact that the sound that is expelled from my mouth when I say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ كَلَامُ اللَّهُ, the sound expelled from the mouth is created, that's correct. But to say that the words that I mention, they are created, meaning the actual recitation is created, then this is the incorrect understanding. And it's just exactly what the Jahmiyyah say in the sense that the Quran is created. So they were trying to be clever. But in fact they denied the fact that the Quran is really uncreated. So they meant by this statement the incorrect meaning. They didn't actually mean the correct meaning. And Imam Ahmad explained, he said the Jahmiyyah, there are three types. One group of them says that the Quran is created, another says that it is the Kalam of Allah and stop at that, and a third say a recitation of the Quran is created. For me, these three groups have the same status. And another narration said all of them are of the Jahmiyyah disbelievers. They should be forced to repent, and if they do not do so, then they should be killed. Not only with regard to the Kalam of Allah and also the Quran being the Kalam of Allah itself. And now, inshaAllah, we are going to proceed with a refutation of a modern group that has evolved. And they are called the Ash'ariya, or the Ash'a'ira. In English, perhaps you could say the Ash'aris. And many prominent callers, or famous, I should say, callers, they have adopted the Ash'ari beliefs in our day, claiming that this Ash'ari belief is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, if brothers and sisters are listening to this on tape, because it's been recorded, then they should refer back to the tapes. The tapes preceding this discussion, in order to get a full overview, as I said earlier on, and also brothers that were here, that are here, or sisters that are here now, that didn't hear yesterday's lectures, I refer you back to yesterday's lectures, inshallah, to listen, to make sure they listen to these tapes before listening to this tape, in order that my words don't be misconstrued. So the Ash'aris, they take their aqidah and their name from the teachings of Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Ismail al-Ash'ari, who died 324 after Hijrah. So with regard to the Kalam of Allah, the Ash'aris brought forth an aqidah that was unknown to the Salaf. What they said, that Allah does possess the attribute of Kalam. He does speak. And that the Qur'an is the Kalam of Allah. So here they agree with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. However, they explain this attribute in a very strange, incorrect manner. They claim that Allah's Kalam was an internal Kalam. A Kalam that cannot be heard by anyone. They equated it with the Kalam of thinking, the concept of thinking, and stated that just the thoughts of man are a type of speech, and these thoughts can't be heard. Likewise, the Kalam of Allah is an internal speech, and it cannot be heard. Therefore, they claim that Allah doesn't speak with sound, and that his Kalam does not consist of words and letters. Likewise, they said Allah's Kalam is not related to His will. Meaning, according to the Ash'aris, that Allah Ta'ala, He doesn't speak when He wishes to speak. But Allah is continually speaking, and will always be speaking. He doesn't speak when He wishes, He's always speaking. This is what they believe. They also claim that the Kalam of Allah is in fact one meaning. It can't be divided into parts. And therefore, the Torah, the Injil, the Quran, all of this is one, it has one meaning. And the expressions of the same Kalam. But the actual Kalam of Allah is without any language, they say. But it's all got the same meaning. So according to them, the essence of the Torah, the Injil, and the Quran is the same, since they claim that Allah's Kalam is an internal Kalam. So therefore they said the actual text of the Quran is created. Look at this. The text of the word of the Quran is created, but the Kalam of Allah is not. I can't do this thing. So the Arabic Qur'an, according to the Ash'aris, is actually created. And it's not the Kalam of Allah. But rather it's an expression of the Kalam of Allah. Just like if I have a thought in my mind, you're not necessarily thinking that thought with words. Yeah? You don't have to think that thought with words. But when you say it in words, those words that we're saying are an expression of the thought process that is going on in your mind. Is that clear? That's how they made tashbih of Allah with His creation. They resembled Allah with His creation in that manner. So even though they thought they were not making tashbih, they were making tashbih. And a scholar who died in the year 505 after Hijrah, who many of us have heard of, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, Rahmatul Alay, was one of the leaders of the Ash'ari Aqidah. He said in one of his, he wrote, Allah speaks without words, sounds, and letters, and His speech is the speech of the mind. No internal speech. His speech is the speech of the mind. Just as the speech of the mind has no sound or words, so His speech has no sound or words. This is the statement of Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali. So this is what they believe. Why did they believe this? And why do they believe this? The reason they believe this is because they wanted to absolve Allah from any likeness to His creation. Any resemblance. This principle is good, it's correct. As we mentioned yesterday, in yesterday's lectures, there's no tamthil or tashbih between Allah and His creation. At all, there's no resemblance. But they took this to an extreme. And they used their intellect and logic to decide which of Allah's attributes they resemblance. So, any of these attributes that in their mind and their intellect expressed some sort of resemblance in their mind on Allah with His creation, or expressed some sort of anthropomorphic quality, then they denied them or they tried to explain them away. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, he says again, just to prove that this is what they believe, he wrote, all that is found in the traditions, meaning the Quran and Sunnah, is examined. Then if the intellect can agree with it, it becomes obligatory to believe in it. But as for those attributes, meaning, as for those which are deemed by the intellect to be impossible, then it becomes obligatory to interpret what has been found in the traditions, the Quran and Sunnah. For it is not imaginable that the traditions will contain something that contradicts the intellect. As for the hadith which contain characteristics of resemblance, then any resemblance between Allah and creation, then most of them are not authentic, and those that are authentic are not explicit, but rather can be interpreted. So shows their belief. So they took their intellect as a criterion between what they and what they agree with, they'll accept. What they disagree with, they reject and interpret. Why did they not just believe, take the attributes as they came, without asking how, without resembling? Why? If they had done this, without picturing in their heads, if they had done this, then they would have been safe from this bid'ah, this innovation. Allah is more aware about His attributes than the Ash'aris and mankind in general. Allah is better and truthful in speech. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and He is more truthful in speech than Allah. Likewise He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, and He is better in speaking or explaining than Allah. rhetorical questions. So, but what they did, the Ash'aris, they delved into concepts that we can't understand as humans. So they said, for example, with regard to Allah's attribute of speech, they said that the one who speaks must speak with sound and breath, and these things are created. In addition, they say that speech must come from a combination of organs, like the tongue, the throat, the mouth, but Allah is free of these organs. There is a reason that words composed of letters can never be eternal, because one letter follows another and has a specific place in each word, so it can't be eternal. Therefore, since each letter is sequential, following the one before it, it cannot have existed from eternity. Therefore, according to them, it is not possible for Allah's kalam to be with sound, or to be composed of words and letters, for if it was, it would be created. So this is their reasoning. They are the ones specifying how, and therefore they reject it. Why don't they just not specify how and accept it? Yeah? So we say, we don't know how Allah speaks, but He speaks. What they say it's necessary if Allah speaks and we must have a time and so on and so forth. We say no, that's not necessary. For example, likewise, Allah says, and they, meaning the disbelievers, will say, why did you testify against us? Meaning the skins. Mankind's skin will speak, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the skins will say, Allah has caused us to speak, and He causes all things to speak. Surah 41, verse 21. Allah caused these objects to speak, but they don't have a tongue, the skin doesn't have tongue, lips, mouth. No. The way Allah will do it, we don't know. We don't question, we just accept it. Imam Ahmed, he mentioned, as for their claim that sound can only occur from the combination of the throat and lips and tongue, then did not Allah say to the heavens and the earth, come, willingly or unwillingly? They both said, we come willingly. Imam Ahmed used this verse to explain that. And did not Allah say, and we subjected the mountains and the birds, and the birds to glorify our praises, along with the Prophet Dawood, in Surah 21, verse 79. Do these people presume that they, meaning the mountains, the heavens, glorified Allah with a throat, lips, and tongues? And how about when a disbeliever's limbs will testify against him? Do you think that they will testify with throat, lips, and tongues? Nay, rather Allah will make them speak as He wishes without any throat, limbs, lips, or tongues. Imam Ahmed's statement. So the claim of the kalam of Allah will with sound, it would necessitate giving these characteristics to the Creator, is batil. Abdullah ibn Ahmed, the son of Imam Ahmed, he said, he died 290 AD, said, I asked my father, Imam Ahmed ibn Muhammad, some people are claiming that Allah does not speak with a sound. Imam Ahmed replied, no, Allah speaks with a sound. And the only people who deny this are the Jahmiyyah. They wish to confuse the people and deny the attributes of Allah. So he's actually saying that the Ash'aris of today, some of whom say this, they are just like the Jahmiyyah, who they consider to be kafirs. So, their refutation of these points. Well then, if the kalam of Allah is without sound, So what is it that Musa alayhi salam heard when Allah spoke to him? What did he hear? Allah said, O Musa, verily I am your Lord, verily I am Allah, there is no God except me, so worship me. In Surah 20 verse 12 to 14, Surah Taha. Allah said, or his kalam was, O Musa, verily I am your Lord. So now if they're saying this kalam of Allah is an object created, because they say Allah's kalam has no sound. Yeah? They say Allah's kalam has no sound. So what did Musa hear? Was it the kalam of Allah? If it was the kalam of Allah, it shows the kalam of Allah has sound. If they say it was not the kalam of Allah, it was something created that Musa heard, then what they're saying is that a created object said, I am your Lord, so worship me. You understand that? You understand that? You understand that? The scholars of the Ash'aris have not been able to give a satisfactory any response to this that I've read. Anyway, with regards to Allah's kalam being without sound, if that's the case, then what special status do the prophets, do some prophets have over others? For example, Allah says in the Quran, these are the messengers, some of whom we blessed over others, yani with a higher status. Some of them Allah spoke to. So he's saying that the ones Allah spoke to are higher in status than the ones Allah didn't speak to. But we know that all the prophets and messengers have got revelation, right? So what's the difference between the revelation that they got, which is through inspiration, and the kalam that Musa alayhi salam got, for example, when we have directly from Allah. Allah says he's raised him in status over the other prophets from this angle. So what's the difference? If they both were internal kalam, this revelation, what is the difference? Why would Musa a higher degree, why would he favored more than the other prophets? Do you understand that point? Allah says, it is not possible for any human being that Allah should speak to him unless it be by inspiration or from behind a veil, or that he sends a messenger to reveal that which he will by his permission. So to reveal that which he wills by his permission. Verily he is the most high, the most wise. Surah Ashura verse 51, Surah 42. So this verse, it mentions different types of revelation. So one of them is, so it says, unless it be by inspiration or behind a veil. What's the difference between inspiration and behind a veil? Behind a veil is the direct speech. Inspiration is wahi. So if this kalam of Allah is an internal speech, then what is the difference between Allah's attribute of speech and his attribute of knowledge? What's the difference? If it's an internal speech, yes, then what it is like, it's knowledge, isn't it? In fact, the point is, that if Allah doesn't speak with a sound, then actually they're implying that Allah is mute. Well, he can't speak, he's dumb. وَالْعِيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. How can they say that Allah is dumb? Well, he can't speak, he's mute. It's not something praiseworthy. For example, in the story of Ibrahim a.s., when the people discovered that he destroyed all their idols, Ibrahim a.s., he said, as is in the Quran, rather this one, the largest of them, did it. Why don't you ask them, why don't you ask them if they can speak? So they turned to themselves and said, verily you are the wrongdoers, because you left the idols unguarded. Then they turned to themselves again and responded, you know very well, O Ibrahim, that these idols do not speak. He replied, do you then worship besides Allah objects that can neither profit you or nor harm you? Fire be to you and upon that which you worship besides Allah. Have you no sense? They're worshipping objects that can't speak. Ibrahim a.s. tried to reason with them from this angle. They said, you know full well that these idols don't speak. Okay, you know full well that the idols don't speak. They didn't turn around and say to Ibrahim alayhi salam, oh, you know full well that the idols don't speak with a sound, but they have this internal speech. No. They knew it's Allah that so these idols don't speak, full stop. Yeah? So if they wanted to say that, they would have said, you know for well these idols don't speak with an internal kalam. They didn't say that. What they actually said was, you know for well that these idols don't speak. Okay? They didn't say, oh, our God does speak, actually, but it's an internal speech. Because they knew how foolish this was. Likewise, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when the Bani Israel, they took the calf as an ilah, as a god. Allah says, did they not realize that it, the calf, could not respond to them with a word, with a single word, nor did it have any power to harm or benefit them? Allah says in the Quran, is using it. Look, they didn't even speak. This calf did not even speak, and yet you're worshipping them? Surah 20, verse 89. But, in another verse, Allah says, and the people of Musa, they made in his absence out of their ornament the image of a calf that made a sound. Did they not realize that he could not speak to them nor guide them to the straight path? So Allah affirms that this animal, it made a sound. To see that this is a sound like the mooing of a cow. Yet he still says to them, look, this thing, it makes a sound, yet it doesn't speak, and you're worshipping it. So these two stories are showing that muteness is not something that is praiseworthy. And they dare to attribute to Allah meekness. This is why Harun ibn Ma'ruf, who was one of the Salaf, who died 231 after Hijrah, he said, whoever presumes that Allah does not speak, then in reality he is worshipping idols. Whoever presumes that Allah doesn't speak, in reality he's worshipping idols. They actually declare that Allah, he doesn't speak when he wants to. It's just some internal kalam, internal speech that is continuous. You know, it's always Allah continually speaking. Well, we know the reputation of this, that Allah says when He intends something, all it is that He says, kun fayakun. Whenever He intends something, He says kun fayakun. So it shows that when He says kun fayakun, be and it is, it's related to His will because He intends something. That's when He says it. Likewise, Allah says, and when Musa came to our appointed time and place, and his Lord spoke with him, or spoke to him. It shows that Allah spoke to him at that time when Musa came to his Lord. Not before, not afterwards. It's according to when he wished to speak. And then they say that the Qur'an of Allah, of Allah, can't be divided into parts. They say it's all just one thing. The Qur'an of Allah is just one thing, you can't divide it into parts. So therefore they said the Qur'an, the Injil, the Torah, it's all one Qur'an, it's only one thing. But it's expressions, different expressions of the same thing. But obviously we know this is not the case, because the Sharia, the different sharia of the prophets contain different rules and legislations. You know, for example, some of the prophets in their time, it was permissible to bow down to a man because this is not an object of a way of worshipping Allah. But now we can't actually bow down to any man because we know that this is a way, a form of worship in our time. Yeah. So therefore these Ash'aris, they say that the Kalam of Allah, it can't be divided. Now the question is this. We know that Allah says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, and Allah spoke to Musa directly. If the Kalam of Allah can't be divided, and Allah spoke to Musa, does that mean that Musa knows everything? Because all of the Kalam of Allah has been given to him. It can't be divided. Allah spoke to Musa. And the speech of Allah according to them, it can't be broken up into parts. So does the Kalam of Allah, does that mean that he has everything from the Kalam of Allah? Of course not. So that you can, you know, make notes. So in conclusion, with this example, you can see how they went far, far astray in this manner, with the example of the Kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. We just accept Allah speaks. How He speaks, we don't know. He speaks in a way that befits His Majesty. Just accept it. In the same way, Allah has two hands. We accept that Allah has two hands, but how His two hands are, we don't know. We don't know, or we don't try to imagine, and we just leave it. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, we'll re-begin the next.